Good evening, everyone. This is the last in our series of four teleseminars regarding cellular wisdom, and in many ways, the culmination of all four, cellular wisdom and business. You know, it's said in real estate that the seminal foundation is location, location, location. I believe that in business, what cellular wisdom teaches us is the seminal foundation of purpose, purpose, purpose. The cells model for us living on purpose. Neurons function in a way that maximizes electrical conductivity and chemical transmission between neurons. They do not attempt to function as a digestive cell or as a bone cell. Red blood cells, for example, although they only live for 90 days because they have no nucleus, yet they're replaced at every time the major function of those cells are to bring oxygen and remove waste products from the tissue. So cells model that when we act from purpose and in accordance with purpose, we are successful. Of course, our business purpose has a bigger context, and the bigger context is our personal purpose. It is wonderfully important that your business purpose be totally aligned with your personal purpose. Purpose sends a note, a song, into the universe. I don't know if you have experienced the sound of what are called singing bowls, but you strike the bowl with a wooden mallet and a rubber tip, and this fabulous resonant sound reverberates. In our lives, it is as though there are concentric circles, with our innermost circle being the essence of who we are, our core purpose and being. And if everything is aligned with that, including our business purpose, then as we reverberate the message throughout the world, it's clear and it's one single note. If our purposes are not aligned in various aspects of our lives, we get static and disruption of that sound, and so we don't radiate a tone of purpose. For example, my personal purpose is to freshly and expansively unfold my decision to love and help people evoke their greatness. My business purpose is to help people evoke their greatness. When these two are aligned, it is truly a laser-like focus of energy that allows you to be very successful in business. CEOs of larger companies and smaller ones need to know what the purpose of their corporation or small business is, because they must interpret with clarity what that purpose is to others. They have to be able to explain over and over again, what does operating from purpose mean in this particular situation? What does operating from purpose mean in interacting with this person, whether it be a colleague, a client, a provider, a vendor, or a company? It's important that the CEO continually interpret, because all of us have different ideas of how that purpose might be expressed. And as that expression of purpose is clarified throughout the organization, and people understand it by example after example, then the probability that a person will act in accordance with that is much greater. Someone asked earlier, what if you're working with a company and the upper management know the values that are at the core of the company, but seem not to be able to transmit those values to the people working at the other levels in the organization? I'm reminded of Richard Barrett, who does a values audit when he goes into a company. And the values audit is done at every level of the company, from the CEO and senior management to middle management to everyone else working in the company. And when it's done, you can readily assess if there is a misalignment of values. Often, I believe, the misalignment comes from not fully understanding what the purpose and values are, of course, expressed from purpose, what the purpose of that corporation is. And this is the responsibility of senior management, is to interpret, to train, and to educate. So I would say that when there is a misalignment, there is a lot of education that needs to occur. And in some cases, if the misalignment is so significant, it may require the departure of individuals who find it impossible to live in alignment and in resonance with the values and purpose that are, which are at the core of the organization. I'm reminded of the fact of how Apple computers thrived under Steve Jobs, and yet when he left the organization, how it began to unravel and the company became less and less effective in within and in the marketplace. When Steve Jobs returned, once again, Apple began to thrive. Why? Because of his vision, which is a communication of purpose, and because of his continually interpreting what living from that purpose in the organization meant. The next topic I'd like to discuss is the communicating with consistency. One of the things that's most disruptive in an organization is if the message changes, if the purpose sounds different when it's articulated by senior management, different when it's articulated by middle management, different when it's articulated by individual workers. Purpose has to be communicated consistently. And that means all of the time, in the good times and in the bad times. All of the time, whether an individual has just made a significant error or has achieved a great success. When someone has made an error, it is much more effective to spend time articulating with that individual how the situation could have been handled in greater alignment with the values and purpose of the organization. This is education on a situation-by-situation basis. It has great impact, and the worker will be inspired to achieve that, especially in a situation where they could have been reprimanded, shamed, and judged. Instead, they're shown another way. I'm always aware of Einstein's comment that you never solve a problem at the same level of thinking that created it. So when someone makes a mistake, judge, shame, and blame is not going to solve the problem. But helping that person transcend to another perspective, one that is of a consistency resonating the purpose of the organization, with a real desire for the individual to emulate that behavior, that is education. Purpose must be communicated with consistency to everyone. The supplier who's bringing your materials on time and the supplier who is not. The vendors who misrepresent their products and the vendors who represent their products in a way that makes it easy for you to decide what it is you need for your work. Whether it's your clients or it's colleagues and associates or each other. The consistency in the message, in the purpose of the organization makes it become a. So let's review the 3 points we've made thus far in this evening's teleseminar. The first one is that the fundamental salient characteristic that cellular wisdom teaches us about success in business is being aligned with purpose, purpose, purpose. Aligning our personal purpose and our business purpose. This kind of a focus, like the concentric circles, when rung, will sing a clear and solid note communicating to everyone who you are, what you offer, and how you offer it. Secondly, interpreting purpose with clarity is a major responsibility of the leadership of the organization. Or if you're in business for yourself, it means with all of those people with whom you deal. It means understanding yourself. What does operating from your core business purpose mean in the behavior that you exhibit in a particular situation and that you expect your employees to exhibit? It means communicating this purpose, interpreting it to everyone by showing them what behaviors reflect this purpose in interactions between individuals or with other companies. And the third point we made is that of communicating purpose with consistency. The worst thing that can tear apart an organization is to have different messages at different levels of the company, or different messages to other people that you deal with, clients, suppliers, vendors, etc. The consistency means that the same message and the same interpretation is offered to everyone all of the time, in the good times, in the bad times, to employees, to customers, to vendors, to marketing people, to everyone with whom your business deals. So those 3 points, purpose, interpreting purpose with clarity, and communicating purpose with consistency, are the foundational elements of successful business. I'd like now to open this up for questions. Live.
Yeah, it's just the consistency again.
Well, that's why the value of 360-degree evaluations are so important, because if you're not familiar with the 360 analysis, what it is looking to see how any individual interacts with every level of person in the organization. And if it's a leader, how do they interact with their colleagues, with the management, senior management, middle management? How do they interact with the janitors and every other element? And that feedback is given back to the leader. And there are many surprises that leaders often have when they have this result presented to them, because it seems to be not at all the message that they want to give. And that's when the analysis then begins of what behaviors are they engaged in that do or do not reflect the purpose of the organization. And they often, in that process, identify behaviors that are remnants of old levels of thinking that they really haven't spent time evaluating. And so they're not consciously aware of what they're doing. These are old remnant patterns of behavior. And the only way that they're going to really remove them from their repertoire is to have this kind of feedback to understand that what they're saying and what they're communicating by their behavior is not a consistent message.
Yes, Joan, as you're describing those tendencies for people to attach to the habitual long-term behaviors, and you certainly are pointing out a solution for that, at the same time, isn't it just as simple as that person utilizing the feedback from 360 degrees to make a momentary decision to change?
It's very interesting, but coaching studies that have been done on people that have been given 360-degree feedback with and without coaching demonstrate that if the people simply receive the feedback, the likelihood of change is less than 20%. If they receive the feedback and agree to enter into a program of coaching so that they can be more consistent in their values and their behaviors, the degree of change goes up to 80%. So I think, you know, just providing people with information has never been the effective solution. I was hired by a woman at Tufts Medical School who was the chair of anatomy and cellular biology in 1979. Her research was on the ultrastructure, meaning the submolecular components of the cells in the lungs, and she was a chain smoker. She looked at the effects of smoking in the lungs, and she was a chain smoker. Information alone really doesn't have the power to lead us to transformative change. What's necessary for transformative change is we have to feel the discomfort in a way that we allow ourselves to feel the discomfort. If we're in denial of the discomfort, we're not ready for change, and the world can try to knock us down with information, and it is unlikely that we will change.
And this is very much in keeping with the idea that it is a co-creation. And in fact, cellular wisdom shows us over and over again that as the individual cells and as they organize into organ systems, certainly are working towards the gestalt, if you will, the whole that's greater than the sum of its parts.
Absolutely true.
Being in that mission.
Absolutely true. I think the question you might ask, and that Robert was starting to ask, is what do we need to really be able to follow this blueprint that I outlined, the blueprint of the alignment of personal purpose and business purpose, the blueprint of interpreting purpose with clarity all of the time with people and situations, and the blueprint of communicating purpose with consistency with all members in good times and bad times, in good situations and bad situations. Well, the first thing I think we need is time for reflection. Because if we don't take the time for reflection, if we, quote, hit the ground running after we get out of bed in the morning until we exhausted fall into bed at night, the possibility that we can see misalignment is very small, if not nil. The possibility that we can see how we could have treated that circumstance or that individual, not the way we did, and that failure is fine. It's part of life. It's learning. But response to failure is to learn. How could I have done it from a place of purpose that truly is aligned with who I am? And that can't happen if we don't have the time for reflection. I usually ask my clients to spend at least an hour a week in their schedules, in their 9 to 5 or whatever their regular hour schedules are, 1 hour of prime time, simply reflecting on the purpose that they have in running this organization or in being a part of this organization or being the leader of a business. The major challenges they've faced in the past week, the major challenges they anticipate facing in the next week, and how they can see meeting those challenges in a way that resonates with purpose. If we don't take the time to go to that level of reflection, if busyness dominates and reflection is denied, the likelihood that we can live the mantra of purpose, purpose, purpose is very small. So I would say immediately, time for reflection. In prime time, every week. What's my personal purpose? What's my business purpose? How can I make it alive in these circumstances with these people, the difficult people as well as the wonderful people? And secondly, and part of this is courage, the courage for correction. Because as we do this, it is like we're stripping off our clothes and standing naked in front of everyone. We're putting our personal purpose and our business purpose resonating together at central stage. And if we don't have the courage to do that, we can't interpret our purpose with clarity. We can't communicate purpose with consistency. And courage, I think, is developed. Yes, you may have a tendency to be courageous, but there is such a wonderful feeling when you've done a courageous act that's resonant with the truth of who you are, that feeling, I believe, is more addictive than the endorphins that give the runners a high. It's an internal recognition of the fact that this ability to meet this situation from a higher place is just raises our entire level of energy and frequency, and it feels so wonderful that it is a motivating factor to want to continue to live that way in every part of our lives and not to allow those holes where we're not, quote, paying attention to continue to reside. We become very willing to look at how we can change our behavior to be resonant with that purpose.
I so appreciate in general just this whole training, because I so agree with you about the trends in business and where business is going. And, you know, this is so vital because it really provides such an important value to the marketplace. And then also from a coaching perspective, it really provides a lot of opportunities for coaching opportunities for employees as well as companies in general.
Absolutely.
It's terrific, and it really makes a difference. It's so clear.
It does make a difference.
Yeah. I just really appreciate, you know, you bringing this to the forefront and really being a leader and standing for this.
Thank you.
Out in the business community. It's wonderful.
Great.
As you're describing, and in very strong terms, Joan, the tendency to really become addicted to the greatly satisfying actions arising out of our core purpose. That's very encouraging to me, even in the context of the term addiction, which obviously sort of contains some negative baggage or connotation. But isn't this encouraging to think that once we get started on that choice path and start to enjoy and be gratified by our authentic actions, that it's really, the snowball gathers momentum down the mountainside at that point. That's the way you see it?
It is indeed the way I see it. I mean, after all, let's look at how societies develop, norms of behavior develop. It becomes, when it becomes the norm to operate in a certain way, it's no longer questioned. And I think as people become more and more comfortable in being who they are in business, and this trend of having more and more smaller businesses contributes to that significantly, people are simply not going to put up with the disrespect. They're not going to deal with those people. It's the commerce will follow the values. And I believe that will happen.
I wonder about your reflection on something I'm thinking about here, that one of the stumbling blocks or holdbacks in us being able to make more progress in this area, yeah, it's large scale across the country, is something around the social standard that our leaders have to be infallible, not show softness, or it's a vulnerability in some kind of a way.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of discouragement for people to, leaders to be able to go there. And I think it consciously or unconsciously encourages our leaders and people, all of us, just not to be vulnerable with ourselves, essentially. Yeah, which gets us totally out of any sense of possibility for personal, awareness and purpose.
Right. And then usually what happens, what I tend to see happen, is that once people begin to fragment themselves, which is what happens when you aren't in that level of resonance, that will accelerate and often leads to real disruption, either disruption in family life, like divorces, disruption in personal life, like real neuroticism beginning, or disruption in health, where people get really severely ill. We aren't built to be going in 50 different directions at once. We really are focused, and we're complex, but complex in a way, as I explained in the beginning of this, of concentric circles within concentric circles within concentric circles all aligned. That level of complexity is not fragmentation, it's integration. And I do think that leads into the next thing I was going to spend a few minutes talking about. Well, the question I was going to go to next is, what can stop you, just what Robert was leading to, what can stop you from implementing the plan? We talked about the plan as being purpose, 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 alignment of personal and business purpose, interpreting purpose with clarity for yourself and for everyone involved with you in your business. What does operating from purpose mean in that situation or with that person or with that company? And we spoke of communicating with consistency in the good times and in the bad times, with people we like and people we don't like, with people who are agreeing with us and people who are not agreeing with us, with our clients, customers, vendors, suppliers, and colleagues. And we talked about what we needed to follow the plan. Now, what can stop us from implementing it? And I think the first one is fear. Whether we fear reprisal from society, we're acting too vulnerable, we're allowing ourselves to be too seen. Well, one of the things that we must learn about living with fear is that if fear becomes the master, it will destroy our lives. It's very simple. If fear is our master, our lives will be destroyed. That doesn't mean deny the fear. It means acknowledge the fear, but it means do it anyway. do what is true for you. Don't do it out of rebellion. Don't do it out of resentment. Don't do it to show them. But there is so much value in living from the essence of who we are in our personal lives, in our business lives, privately and publicly, that when people see that our consistency is there because we're able to step through the fear in a conflict situation, in a situation where ordinarily you might hide what you really want out of this situation. You may diminish your purpose because it would be easier. But if you do that once, it's a highway to doing it over and over again, to more and more distress, to more and more stress, and more fragmentation. So there are so many benefits of facing the fear and doing it anyway, that allowing fear to master your life is just a really silly decision to make, because you'll never take it back once fear is the master. I think nearly as important an impediment is distraction. I have to do, I have to do, I have to do. I have to do 15 things before 9 o'clock this morning. If we don't reestablish the lenses of purpose and reestablish the priority that reflect that purpose, then we allow the distraction to become our master, the ability to take. We will never do everything we have to do in a given day. And it's important that we realize that, because if our expectation is that we will lose purpose. We will lose focus. Distraction distracts us from the focus of living on purpose. And that means checking in. Am I doing what's the most important thing for me to be doing right now? That's in alignment with my personal purpose and my business purpose. It may be something everybody else wants you to do. And it may be that they become disappointed if you don't do it. But if you communicate consistently what your purpose is in either doing it or not doing it, the respect will follow. Distraction is a terrible enemy. Finally, the input from other people who are not aligned with your purpose. There are people who will not understand the direction in which you're going. It is your obligation to communicate and interpret with clarity. But if you have done that, and there isn't a possibility that that person will become aligned with you, you can't allow them to direct your actions. Because if you do, you will lose the focus and you will lose the purpose. Does anybody recognize these impediments?
The fear that you were speaking of, Joan, very much so.
Yes.
I see it in my own life when I'm moving forward, and I also see it in the lives of my clients. And, it's easy to recognize it in other people and help them move through it. But, sometimes when it's your own fear, it really takes something to do the same.
Yes. But this is where learning to recognize the responses of your body.
Yeah.
Fear can often be, most of the time, can be felt somewhere in your body. For me, it's in my gut. It's like it just ties up in a knot. Mm-hmm. And when that's the case, I recognize I'm in a state of fear. That's why the time for reflection each week is so important, not an annual retreat. An annual retreat is fine, but if that's the only time for reflection, there's much that's going to go unadjusted where it could be realigned.
I'm just thinking about the times where I have taken the initiative when I have been in the fear mode, and just how I'm noticing there's this gracefulness or something that, or a feeling of being supported that really is, like you were saying, that you want that feeling again.
Yes.
And but it's amazing to just simply recognize it.
Yes.
And how there's a momentum from that.
Yes.
Where it starts to show up in different parts
yes.
of my life.
Yes.
I thank you very much. This whole series of classes has been incredible, Joan.
Fabulous. I'm so glad.
You're suggesting some very specific actions, and I'm wondering, are you, can you encourage us to do some homework also in terms of keeping our focus through distraction? And perhaps you also suggested, at least in my hearing, that as input from peers that are uncertain of my purposes now, I can make choices to surround myself with peers that are supportive and understanding and perhaps give me more latitude to be authentic. Are you heading in some very concrete directions for us to actualize those ideas?
I am. In fact, what helps overcome this concern about input from others not aligned with your purpose is exactly to do what you said, and that is to create a support group for yourself of advisors, mentors, and coaches who, because we never have to do any of this alone, although we do have to conquer our fear, we have to maintain our focus through distraction, we can do it with the assistance and help of other people. We don't have to do it alone, and that's one of the major teachings of the body. And so I would suggest that you have a group of people that you interact with periodically, regularly, whether it's once a week or once a month, but who understand you, who understand your purpose and the purpose of your business, and who understand that what your major implementation obstacles are, so that they can help give you the energy to transcend it so that you can find that way that you might not have seen before of meeting that challenge, conflict, issue, problem from the place of deeper purpose. And so I think that's a very concrete thing I would ask you to do, is to have your support group well aligned and meet with them regularly. One of the thoughts that I would like to have is, I don't know how many of you did the homework that I recommended last time. That is, what are your top five values and how do they show up in your personal life and in your business life? What I'd like to know is, did you learn anything about doing this exercise if you did it? And if so, what did you learn?
My top five values are integrity, full self-expression, love, gratitude, and generosity. And I can really see that all of these values show up in my business life and in my personal relationships. And it's kind of the orientation that I come from for both business and personal. So I really didn't see any difference in the two. And these are values that I have posted everywhere. So I, you know, in moments of, if I feel like I'm getting off track, I use this to pull myself back to my core values. If in the moment I can't feel them,
mm-hmm.
I can see them, and then it gets me back to, oh, that's right, that's, you know, how am I doing? Am I operating out of my values?
Well, first of all, congratulations, Kathleen, on that level of clarity about your values, that they're posted. And that's something all of us might consider doing, is posting our values someplace that we can see them regularly.
Yes, Dr. King, as we've been working closely together in private business and purpose coaching, I'll fall back on that once again. Crafting the purpose statement that incorporates the core values has just become a very essential tool for me on a daily basis. I don't just post that where I can read it, but I practice saying that, presenting it in a variety of contexts. So finding those five primary values is certainly extremely valuable exploration, but to craft them into a statement, and your own purpose statement, I think, is a beautiful example I won't take the time to share mine, but it does incorporate those core values, and it's very easy to rehearse, it's very uplifting, and it just feels great. Thank you.
Well, that's a way to keep aligned with purpose, and congratulations, Doug, for the work that you've done to do that.
Your guidance has been integral to that purpose, Joan. Thank you very much.
There is one value that, that came up for me that had a nice reminder of an aha in it. It was the value of integrating joy in all I do. and as I let myself get too busy or distracted with overworking, over-pushing some stuff, then it's always just a very accurate Geiger counter that I'm I'm getting off of that flow. If I'm not enough in the joy.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, joy is the result of resonance.
Mm-hmm.
Because when we're fully resonant, or as Csikszentmihalyi would say, when we're in flow, that is the time of greatest resonance and greatest joy. And that's when our purpose, personal and professional, is aligned with the behaviors that we're involved with at that time in a way that so intrigues us that it brings such deep joy.
Hmm.
Yes.
And there's something very unifying in that, in my experience. Is that also more general?
Yes. Yes. So if it,
I'm sorry, some concluding comments. I would want to just remind our loyal listeners that we will be monitoring the Ask database if you want to continue to ask questions or your comments. And go ahead, Dr. King, we have 2 minutes left now this evening.
Well, one of the things I've done tonight is talk about purpose. Communicating it, having it aligned with our personal and business, interpreting it, following what we need to implement it, and then overcoming the obstacles. And I think that this is a wonderful culmination of the 4 sessions that we've had, because it requires you to understand your source of cellular wisdom to do this, to actually tap into it, to use your cellular wisdom and relationships and bring it to this peak of bringing it to live from purpose in every aspect of your life, personally and in business. So I would suggest that you decide what next steps are important for you to do, for each of you to do, that would allow you to make the alignment, that would allow you to clarify your personal purpose or your business purpose, that would allow you to interpret your purpose with clarity, first to yourself, then to others. What would be your next step in communicating your purpose with consistency to everyone in every situation? Maybe it's time for reflection to follow the plan. Maybe it's the courage for correction. Maybe it's the time to face the fear, or to focus through distraction, or to have your group support so that you aren't at the mercy of the input of those who are not aligned with who you are and what you want to contribute to the world. And that's a personal choice. But I think it would be of great benefit to culminate this series by taking some time to enumerate up to 5 steps that you can take to put this blueprint into action. I assure you, you will benefit more than you can imagine.
Well, thank you. That is a call to action that is clear to me that you've helped me to get underway, and I trust that it'll be impacting our listeners in a similar way. And let me just be very thankful, and I'm so honored to be part of this project with you, Dr. King, and to have our listeners joining us in this process so actively, interactively. And let me just encourage everyone to enjoy over and over again Joan King's engaging and substantial book called Cellular Wisdom, Decoding the Body's Secret Language. And she is also available to each of you for private coaching by the miracle of teleconferencing if you don't have the good fortune to be living so close by. So if there aren't some final comments, John will bid everyone adieu. And please do download the audio files that you have already purchased for the series at the products page on www.beyond-success.com. So with those closing comments, thank you very much. And until we meet again, my friends.
Thank you, everyone.